It's Idaho Matters on Boise State Public Radio. I'm George Prentice, sitting in for Gemma Gaudette. Yesterday, there was a hearing in federal court concerning a trail connecting Stanley with Redfish Lake. The Idaho Conservation League has filed a friend of the court brief in support of the Forest Service trail. Today, a federal judge is hearing a case brought by the ICL against the Forest Service about water diversions in the Sawtooth Valley. The first case, as we understand it, the Forest Service wants to build a 4-mile hiking and biking trail. Some of it crosses the Sawtooth Valley Ranch. The owner filed the lawsuit. He said the plan has flaws and there was no study on the trail's environmental impacts. The owner told us he's happy to come on this program to talk about the lawsuit as soon as all of that has been decided, so we'll have him on soon. The second case is about fish. The ICL says 23 water diversions authorized by the Forest Service are hurting salmon, steelhead, and bull trout. We spoke with Julie Thomas with the Sawtooth National Forest, who said they wouldn't come on the show because they can't comment on pending litigation. So today we're talking to the Idaho Conservation League about the cases. With us in studio are John Robison, the ICL's Public Lands Director, and Marie Calloway-Kellner, the ICL's Water Associate. I'm breathless.
Thank you, George.
How are you?
Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
Okay. So let's do some basics here. Let's talk about this Stanley Trail.
Sure. And
paint a word picture.
Where
is it?
Sure. The Stanley Trail, and if folks think about what Idaho, an iconic image of Idaho is the Sawtooth Mountains. Mm-hmm. And one thing that is also incredibly amazing about Idaho is you know, over 60% of the state is public land. And that means it is managed, owned by the public and managed on our behalf by the Forest Service and BLM. And so we have a voice and a say in what happens in our public lands. And in the case of the Stanley Trail, the Forest Service had an idea. It was actually hatched by the city of Stanley to build a trail to get folks who like to hike and bike and actually folks who have limited mobility to get from Stanley to Redfish and back without going on the highway. And we think that that is an idea that deserves support. And even Congressman Simpson had included that in his larger vision for a Boulder White Clouds Protection Act that not just addressed ecological interests, but also the social and economic interest of the area.
I think most people have heard of Friend of the Court, but maybe you can simplify that.
I'll speak to that. John and I call him JR. John Robison, we got to work together on this. And so a friend of the court brief, another name for that is amicus or amicus. And I've talked to many people and there's no clear decision on how you properly pronounce that. But it means a friend of the court brief. So we're not a party to the case. But when we realized that the trail, the ability for the trail to proceed was being challenged, we felt really strongly that it needed an additional, or we wanted to offer our voices support because we feel like it is really in alignment with the values of the Sawtooth National Recreation Area. We knew it was something the Forest had worked on for years and been contemplating, as well as the city of Stanley. And in fact, ICL, as part of our normal course of work, we follow projects and permits on all manner of natural resource projects all over the state. And we do that all the time. And so we had been following this project for years, and our former Central Idaho director of ICL had filed comments on the trail 5 years ago, and we felt like our concerns were addressed in their environmental analysis, and we felt confident about it moving forward and felt like it was really in keeping with the values of the SNRA. So we wanted to support it. So in doing that, we applied. I'm an attorney. I'm a licensed attorney, so I can file in the court on behalf of ICL. And we asked for permission of the judge to be able to file this friend of the court brief or an amicus brief. And we did that. And John wrote a lovely declaration that just really explained why ICL felt this was in keeping with the values of our public lands and the things that ICL stands for.
So how far down the trail is this case?
Oh, that's nice fun.
Thank you.
It is. So what happened?
I've been up since early this morning. I wrote that early today.
Well executed.
Excellent.
So what has happened now? So the trail was slated to, or the trail is slated to begin construction in just a couple of weeks. And so there are landowners that are sort of mid-trail. So it's about 4.5 miles between Stanley and Redfish Lake. And midway, for a little over a mile of the trail, it goes over private property. There's a conservation easement. There's an easement for a trail that was existing when the current landowners bought the property. They bought the property, I believe, 2.5 years ago. The easement's over 10 years old. But it was contemplated that a trail would be built. So they knew that. But it's more specific issues with how the construction is going to happen that they're having issues with and the use of the trail. So what so they've done what's called – they filed a preliminary injunction, which would be stop the construction because it's supposed to start in – I think it's 2 weeks. And so that's what the judge heard yesterday was this argument about the preliminary injunction, whether or not she should stop the actual construction from happening. And she did what's called took it under advisement. She didn't rule from the bench, but she let the parties know that she understood that time was of the essence. And so
to that end, we can expect something.
We can expect something, I would think. Well, before June, I believe June 17th is the day that like the construction is to happen or to begin. And so before then, she was very she acknowledged that time was of the essence, and she anticipated getting something out soon.
Excellent. We're speaking with John Robison, J.R., because we've known each other well over 4 minutes now.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. The ICL's Public Lands Director and Marie Calloway-Kellner, the ICL's Water Associate. We'd love to hear from you. You can communicate with us via email at idahomatters, all one word, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. On Twitter, use the hashtag idahomatters or on our Facebook page, Boise State Public Radio. Let's switch to fish. Okay, let's talk about this other case. The case being heard today, it's my understanding, is about water diversion projects in the Sawtooth Valley. Can you outline this case for us? Can you break it down for us as simple as possible?
I think so. I'm going to try. So this is a case that I'll first say ICL is really committed to doing whatever we can to help the plight of Idaho's endangered salmon and steelhead. And this case is related to that. This is one component of a much larger problem that we have in the Northwest right now, which is the plight of our salmon and steelhead.
And the big dam debate.
In the big dam debate, this is separate from but part of the larger umbrella of all the different things that could be done on behalf of these fish to try to help them. So in a nutshell, if people are using public lands if people are taking water and running it from rivers and streams across public lands or to public lands, they have to have permission from the landowner, which is the public or the land management agency. So in this instance, the Forest Service. And ICL contends that the Forest Service is required to do certain analysis of this water use before it continues to allow this water use to happen in the Sawtooth Valley. So it's the very same valley as we're talking about the trail. This is all in the Sawtooth Valley of Idaho. And there are 23 different water diversions that are either on or run across public lands in the Sawtooth Valley. And ICL contends that they are supposed to have this scientific analysis to look at, is this water use negatively impacting or adversely impacting these endangered species? And the forest contends that it doesn't have to do it right now.
Can I ask how unusual this is for you to be on the opposite side of the table of the Forest Service?
Let's let John take that one.
Well, you know, we are our mission is to protect Idaho's clean water, wilderness, and quality of life, the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the land that makes Idaho so great. And there's a variety of tools in the toolbox. Mm-hmm. And so part of that means stepping up, learning about the issues, working with our members, working with communities, and we find that we need a lot of tools in the toolbox. So we use education, collaboration, and sometimes when needed, litigation. Mm-hmm. And so it really goes back to finding out which tool is appropriate at the right time, but also being very transparent about that and saying, hey, you know, we think we have concerns here. We're going to raise these concerns, and here's what we're doing next. And on this other topic, we think you've done a really good job here, and we want to support you in this. And so that's where we kind of have figured out long ago that if you just use one toolbox, whether it's just litigation, just collaboration, you're missing some opportunities. And really we find that in this case, it really the timing is very interesting. It's juxtaposing. But our bottom line there is that when these lands belong to everyone. Everyone has sort of a voice in them and stand up for them. And when our friends at the Forest Service make a really good decision, we want to support them.
And when
we think they've missed some things, we'll also hold them accountable.
I need to assume that you have had a beer with folks from the Forest Service.
I'd love to take that.
Right?
If
I mean,
you could.
So what are these conversations like? You're literally opposing them and supporting them.
It's really interesting too, I think, the timeliness of, you know, this afternoon's hearing. And this is something that I've been working on personally for 4.5 years. And I remember it really well because I have a 5.5-year-old daughter. And I took her up to Ketchum with me. My husband and I were able to go when she was 10 months old. And I went and spent all afternoon with the ranger at the SNRA headquarters north of Ketchum, trying to learn about this. And that was the first time I met with the forest about this. And that was in the fall of 2014. And we filed the lawsuit in the winter of 2018. So we spent over three years trying to come to terms, trying to, you know, I was pushing the forest to do this. They were determining, well, do we really have to do this? Do we want to do it in this way? And so we spent that much time, a lot of conversation, a lot of cups of coffee, a lot of meetings, a lot of phone calls, a lot of attempts back and forth to try to come to terms that we could each agree with. And then ultimately we determined we're going to have to file this complaint, like initiate litigation to really make this happen. And it was that important to us because we're that committed to doing everything we can and for the endangered fish. And so, like, let's use every tool that we can to try to save these fish.
As a layperson, is there opportunity for – I mean, yes, you've begun. Today you're in court.
Yeah.
But is there opportunity to work this out outside of that room still?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I mean, that would be – I think so. I don't know exactly how it's going to go. We haven't been successful at doing that yet, but that doesn't mean that we couldn't moving forward.
Hmm. And I think that the main thing is establishing a line of communication with not just our partners in the agency, but also folks who really know these trails best, that know these communities, and that live there, and really what their vision for the landscape is, and how to reflect that. One irony is that there's a lot of turnover in the Forest Service, and so the collaboratives and the understandings that we have with folks really have played a big role. When you have a new person come into a new position at the Forest Service, it's welcome. And here's the backstory. Here's the context. We've been working on this for long years. Here's our vision for the area. And we're going to support these decisions. Here's the reason why. And if we need to shift strategies, we can. But also when we think that things are going a little bit off, we'll call them out on that and work with them the next time.
Excellent. That's John Robison, ICL's Public Lands Director, and she's Marie Calloway-Kellner, the ICL's Water Associate. Thank you so much for breaking this down for us.
Thank you for having us on, George. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Well, thank you.
Yikes. There's much more to come on Idaho Matters. I'm George Prentice.